Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Roberta King, a Vice President, Branch Leader with Fidelity Investments. With me today is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategist of Options Play. Tony is a frequent CNBC guest. And Tony, I want to say again, welcome to today's show. It's great to be back with you.
Thank you so much, Roberta. It's great to be here. A lot to talk about with regards to the markets today.
I'm looking forward to it. And today is Thursday, May 29th, 2025. And as you've already alluded to, we all continue to have a watchful eye on the markets and how they're responding to key economic data. Tony, I'm curious, our viewers are curious to learn what you're noticing. So let's get today's conversation started with your macroeconomic view, and what you're observing.
Yeah, thank you so much, Roberta. It's been a wild few weeks in the equity markets. We've navigated cooling inflation. We've navigated, what seems to be still robust job growth. But really, kind of what's been the primary driver has been the headlines around trade policy. Even yesterday's court ruling, striking down, large swaths of Trump's levies. Only adds kind of the whipsaw that we continue to see from headlines over the last few weeks. If you take yesterday's news with regards to the court ruling striking down the tariffs, we have to take that with a grain of salt here because that was still a lower court that made that ruling. We know that the Trump and team plans on appealing it, which means that it's likely going to go to the Supreme Court and they could still potentially rule in favor for Trump. It also doesn't cover product-specific tariffs, and there are still other avenues for Trump to continue to levy tariffs outside of the avenues that he's taken so far. So, I think that's reflected in kind of the price action that we've seen here from the equity markets today. We opened up, more than 1% higher here, but we find ourselves basically flat on the day, basically as sort of the reality of all of this is kind of come in, equity markets are not as bullish here as they were kind of into the open. But overall, the equity markets over the last few weeks have rallied pretty significantly on the back of that. The economic data so far has remained fairly resilient, and it's going to give the Fed some room to be patient as they have stated that they want to be. And also, there's the belief that the worst case in terms of the trade wars or trade outcomes are sort of behind us. And yesterday's NVIDIA earnings also gave investors a lot of confidence that, the AI industry that has driven a lot of the gains that we've seen here in the equity markets over the last 2 years, there's still some fuel to that fire. There's a lot of optimism, I would say, as equity markets kind of approach the all-time highs again here. However, the one thing that I think that we need to be paying attention to are bond yields. We've seen a pretty significant whipsaw in bond yields over the last couple of weeks, between concerns around inflation versus growth. It's resulted in somewhat of a flat curve that we've seen here right now. But going forward, a lot of that is going to hang on the inflation data that's coming out tomorrow, employment data that's coming out next week. And in my opinion, the one thing that the equity markets right now are sort of shrugging off and that particularly concerns me are some of the tail risk events that the bond market seems to be starting to show some signs of. There are some tremors that we've seen here from both the US and Japanese bond markets over the last couple of weeks. Both markets have seen relatively poor demand for auctions on the longer dated bonds. And this is starting to show that bond investors are concerned about the expected future debt levels for both US and Japanese bonds. So, I particularly have concern that the yen carry trade are starting to potentially see some unwinding here. And there are some serious ramifications for both US Treasury markets and US equity markets as a result of what the bond markets are trying to tell us. We have 20 and 30 year yields approaching 5% here, actually above 5% here. So as the S&P 500 rallies up to that 6150 all-time highs and bouncing off the 5800 support level that we've seen here over the last couple of days, I think we have to increasingly look at bonds for what are some signs of downside risks as we approach these all-time highs.
Thanks so much for sharing that your perspective. A lot of observations, as you mentioned. I'm curious, are there any other indicators within the bond market that investors should monitor for early signs of equity market stress, like things like you mentioned the yield curve movements or credit spreads?
Yeah, so I think probably the one thing that we should start paying attention to right now are credit default swaps on US Treasuries. If you look at the 1 year credit default swaps on US Treasuries, we're reaching levels that we haven't seen since 2008. So, these are some serious concerns that investors are concerned about with regards to the quote unquote default risk, if you will, of US Treasuries. And that risk is clearly starting to rise. So that is really the big concern that I have here. And I think that's one of the things that the equity markets right now are to some degree ignoring, and we can't ignore that, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you. So, Tony, I have a second question, and it's around the sectors and asset classes that might be best positioned given the environment that you've outlined. Are there any specific industries that are more resilient to inflation and trade volatility?
Yeah, definitely. You definitely think of sort of the more defensive sectors immediately, especially utilities. But also, if you look at technology, I think technology is likely going to be a primary driver, regardless of where inflation really is. You also have seen, if the economic data continues to remain fairly resilient, we have seen consumer discretionary as a sector starting to come back to life a little bit here. So those are some of the sectors that I would be paying attention to here right now in the sort of Goldilocks zone with regards to economic data.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate the insight. So let's shift gears and let's get tactical because our viewers are always curious to know how can they take advantage and when there's opportunity in the market. So what are you seeing today? I understand you've got AI on your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen tech continue to gain momentum here and recover from a sector rotation perspective as we have this broader recovery off of the April lows. And Adobe specifically, I want to take a look at as a particularly quality growth stock that I think stands to benefit from their leadership in both digital design and AI tools. It's fairly impressive in terms of the fundamentals for the company. And if you couple it with a fairly strategic use of AI, I think it positions Adobe as one of the top picks in the software industry at the moment. So with earnings coming up in less than 2 weeks and relatively elevated implied volatility for options for Adobe, I think there's a unique position right now to start capturing some options premium for this particular stock. So if we take a look at the chart here for Adobe, the timing right now looks quite optimal for adding some bullish exposure here because recently we broke out from this bearish trend line and started to trade higher here. So we have a classic bearish to bullish turnaround here with alongside with that some strong momentum as the stock outperforms the S&P 500 on this breakout. So that's suggesting that there's potentially some institutional accumulation of Adobe towards the 465 upside target here that we see for Adobe. And then if you look at the company here, this is really where the fundamentals look incredibly attractive from a valuation perspective because Adobe is currently trading at only 20 times forward earnings, which is a 25% discount to its industry median, which is around 27 times forward earnings. Yet it's expected to grow as fast as the industry is, its peers, both top and bottom line is expected to come in around 11, 10 to 11%. But more importantly, Adobe, is far more efficient in terms of generating net profits than its peers. For every $1 in revenue, they generate 30 cents in net profits versus the industry is only about 10 cents. So it's far more efficient in generating profits. And for those reasons, it should at the very least be trading back at the industry median in terms of valuations. But in reality, it actually should be trading at a higher valuation because it's far more profitable. So just to kind of put that into context, even if Adobe was just to trade in line with the industry at around 27 times forward earnings, that would imply a stock price of around $575. The stock's currently trading around 411, 412. So that's a significant upside potential that I see here for this particular stock. And it all comes down to the fact that, they're a leader in terms of digital In the creative, in the digital creative industry, their Firefly app has positioned Adobe to be an innovator in AI instead of being disrupted by it. There was a lot of concern over the last few quarters that, Adobe is the type of company that's going to be disrupted with AI, with, the fact that you can just with a few keystrokes basically do what Photoshop is capable of doing, but would typically take a graphic designer, a skilled graphic designer, hours of work to do. AI can replace in a few seconds. But clearly, the fact that we've seen 10% sales growth in the last quarter proves that their ability to execute and growth and be a leader in AI is actually being is a strength for them, not a weakness. So I think there's a lot going for this particular company, especially if you look at the fundamentals, you look at the technicals. I think now is the right time to be adding some bullish exposure here to this stock that has largely been out of favor here for the last few quarters. And then if you look at the options side of things, the implied volatility on Adobe options are incredibly high right now because earnings are coming up in less than 2 weeks. So implied volatility percentile is above 90%. And what that gives us an opportunity to do is to sell some premium and collect that. So I'm going out to the July expiration and I'm looking at selling the 415 385 put vertical. So I'm selling the 415 puts and I'm buying the 385 puts against that because that's going to significantly reduce the amount of risk that I have to take on this particular trade. So earlier today, you can collect about $11.35 for that credit spread, which means that your maximum profit potential if Adobe is above 415 is $1,135 in maximum profit potential if Adobe is above that 415 strike, with a maximum risk of around $1,800, a little over $1,800 if it's below the lower strike around 385. And the reason that we're using a vertical spread like this here is because if you were to just outright sell that put option, you would need roughly $41,000 in margin or in cash in order to sell that cash secured put, versus you only need around about $1,800 in margin in order to sell this credit spread. So, a significant reduction in the overall risk and the capital required to get into this trade for what is a arguably a risk profile that's very similar to just outright selling that 415 put. So this is really kind of where you can use a credit vertical spread to get a very similar risk profile to selling a put, but doing so in a way with substantially less risk and substantially less capital required to get into the trade.
Thank you, Tony. I want to shift gears a little bit. As many investors are aware, we are in the midst of earnings season, and you alluded at the top of our conversation, NVIDIA announcement and how that impacted things and outlooks. What do you have your eye on today with regard to earnings announcements?
Yeah, so one stock that's reporting this afternoon that I have my eyes on, and I've spoken about this stock quite a bit here over the last year or so, is Costco. Costco reports after the close here today, but from my perspective, this is a stock that's heavily overvalued. It's trading at 50 times forward earnings, which is substantially higher than the industry median for, a big box retailer like Costco, even though we could argue that Costco is by no means similar to other big box retailers because of their membership model, and it's a very stable recurring revenue model. But still, it's trading at 50 times forward earnings, which is incredibly high from a valuation perspective, especially when you consider that net margins for Costco is under 3%. That means for every $1 they generate in revenue, they generate less than 3 cents in net income off of that. So when you have razor thin margins like that and you're trading at such high valuations, there's a lot of downside risks, in my opinion. And going into this earnings announcement this afternoon, Costco has been underperforming the S&P 500. Those are some signs that potentially institutions are distributing. There's a distribution phase in place for this particular stock heading into earnings. That's typically what I look for if I have a bearish view going into an earnings announcement. So the expected move on Costco this afternoon is about 3.5%. That's what the option markets are implying, and I'm taking a bearish view on Costco this afternoon.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's interesting information, and I'll certainly keep my eye out too. So I want to shift gears because we save time in each of our conversations to look back at a past trade idea and see how it played out. And I also find these moments where we peek back in time to be really valuable when it comes to lessons learned. So today, Tony, I understand you're looking back at a previous trade on Zoom. Can you update us on what's happened since that initial trade?
So a few weeks ago, we laid out a bullish thesis here on Zoom, and we bought the June 75 by 80 call vertical. We paid about $2.70 for that debit spread, that $5 wide debit spread. Now the stock did reach above that $80 strike price, but pulled back here, just to below that. That $2.70 debit spread is now trading around $3.40. I do think that, as we approach expiration, there are some growing risks right now with Zoom, with recent events, with Google's recent announcement that they are launching effectively what is a competitive product to Zoom directly into the Google suite of tools. I think that is one potential disruption for this particular industry. So there are some downside risks that I start to see here with Zoom. And I think that, we've got a small profit on this particular trade. It's better for us right now to close out this trade at a small profit and move on.
Okay. Thank you, Tony. I do recall you sharing this trade when we talked back at the beginning of May, and the max reward being above 80% of at expiration. Do you still look at that as the price target? And would there be any reason to close, and or I should say, continue to hold this until expiration?
Yeah, I mean, my upside target for Zoom was well above 80. It was actually, closer to 90 at the time.
Okay.
But like I said, recent news have come out that's changed my thesis a little bit in terms of Zoom. It's still trading at a pretty low valuation. So I do think for investors who believe in the story for Zoom in terms of their new AI product, we're hosting the session over Zoom, right? We're doing the session over Zoom. Almost all of my meetings that I have are over Zoom. But I do think that there are some new risks that have emerged with Google's recent announcement of a competitive product. So for those reasons, I do think right now it's time to close out this trade at a small profit and move on.
Very helpful. Thank you so much, Tony. This does bring our conversation and our show to a close today. I want to thank all of our viewers for tuning in. Tony, as always, I thank you for bringing us your thoughts and your trade ideas today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm glad that we were able to go through some of these trades.
Excellent. If you're interested in further details specific to any of Tony's trade ideas shared today, please join our midday market briefing call that's held tomorrow by visiting fidelity.com/in-the-money follow-up. You can also find further insights, or if you missed the live show today, you can sign up for Active Investor Weekly newsletter to receive highlights of the trades discussed today. And you can do that on fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. Next week, we'll be back with another episode of In the Money. Take care.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of options play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use.
Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.
Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.